Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. God bless y'all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope y'all doing all right, staying strong and solid in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you were baptized. I pray that you are safe, protected, and prayed up. And I just hope that whatever situation that you're going through, the Most High be with you, that he strengthens you, you become more wise, you keep him first, you stay in alignment, you stay on a narrow path. And I just pray that your situation clears up, your mental health gets better, that the Lord give you more clarity, he gives you more wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. He keeps pouring out his love and his spirit all over you, and he really fixes your situation. And I pray that you can have more joy and more laughter and a merry heart. Amen. Greetings, people. Shalom, shalom, family. Welcome. All right. Now, in today's message, I'm just going to continue the series of reading the book of Genesis. All right. The beginning of everything. I just want to read that and continue from there. And it talks about Abraham and Lot. And these chapters coming up is going to be more kind of geared towards Lot in a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's always important to see these biblical stories and to see how God used people and helped people in their situations, you know. And we have to remember that in the midst of our situation, he is with us. You know, a lot of times people get so hard on themselves, they get so, you know, self-pity. They really get, and like you get like mixed negative emotions sometimes when you get really fretted or worried, or you're facing adversity and difficult moments, but you have to trust in him no matter what. Amen. You got to have that mustard seed faith, amen, through everything. So I'm just going to continue reading about Abraham and Lot, and then just close out from there, all right? So I hope that you all had a blessed day, and I hope that better days come for you all. Even though we're in the end times, the last days, let your personal life be better for the Lord, all right? Don't let nobody steal your joy, amen? So I'm going to continue this and go from there. So here we go. The book of Genesis, chapter 14. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Ariah, king of Elisar, Shador Laomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemember, king of Zebulun, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years that 12 years they served Shadalamer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Shadalamer and the kings that were with him, and smote with the Rephims and Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims and Ham, and the Emmons and Shaveh, Kerethaim, and the Horites and their Mount Seir until El Paran, which is by the wilderness. So this talks about more about how different nations was having war and setting up kingdoms in these time periods, all right? So war and violence, rebellion has always been a thing from beginning of times, all right? And they returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also, and there went out king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zebulun, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in Vale of Siddim, with Shadalarma, the king of Elam, and with title, king of nations and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elisar. Four kings with five. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountains. And they looked, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew. For that he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan. So you could see, like, Abraham got his soldiers, you know, he got united, he got his servants, his knights, his noblemen, his fighters, and everything. When God blessed Abraham with a lot of land and promises and covenants and material possessions, you know, Abraham also had maid servants. He also had warriors. He had soldiers. He had all of that. So he had people that would ride for him. He had people that would go to war for him. So, you know, war is a very important thing in our lifetime. And it's important to have strong, mighty people with you when you're fighting battles. Amen. And some people may be alone at this moment, or some may stay to themselves, but I pray that God surrounds you with beautiful warriors. I pray that God surrounds you with mighty men and mighty women of valor. And I pray that you can have good friends or a fellowship or servants or what have you, just people, community-wise, or a church or a gathering that you could go to war with. Amen. It's important that we stick together and fight for each other, as long as it's for a good cause based around the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities of the air and wickedness in high places. Amen. So we have to keep on the arm of God, and iron sharpens iron. We all have to also better each other, strengthen each other. And we got to be unified when we go to war, Israel. All right. Israelites, Gentiles, all four corners of the earth. We got to be together on this. All right. When we fellowship together, we pray together. We have to also go against the evils together too. Amen. All right. So it's just cool reading this part about Genesis with Abraham, because this is a part about Abraham that people don't really talk about, that, you know, Abraham had soldiers, you know. So Abraham understood the importance of war and defending land and defending territory and defending God. And that's what God called us to do. Amen. We are here to defend God, defend the kingdom, defend the truth. You know what I'm saying? Defend the gospel, defend sound doctrine. And to defend others, we got to also look out for poor people, look out for widows, things of that nature. We have to fight off the evil. We have to weed out the wickedness going on too. Amen. So I'm going to continue this Genesis reading and go from there. So I just found that very interesting. You know, every time you read the Bible over and over and over, no matter which chapter it is, it's always something you can always learn. That's how powerful the word is. Amen. So let's see what we have here. The book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 15. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them into Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also and the people. So when it came to war, people always was taking others into captivity, taking the resources, taking the women, taking the children, kidnapping. Like, those things been going on since ancient times. Until this day, war is still going on. When you see all these conflicts with different countries and nations against nations, kingdom against kingdom, even though Christ's been prophesied about this, this is something that's always been going on from day one. All right. So, you know, we gotta remember, we're community minded people. It's not always about ourselves. You know, this world teaches us every man for ourselves and teaches this survival of the fittest mindset. And God never wanted us to live like that. God always wanted us to live for him, the kingdom. He always wanted us to live for others too. He always wanted us to look out for one another within our household and even outside of our household. He wanted us to look out for ones within the tribe and even those outside of the tribe. Amen. So it's always important that we have to look out for each other. You know, this world is so divided and full of hate. Nobody can stick together or agree on anything. This is what causes more problems. The lack of unity is a big problem. And when I say lack of unity, I don't just mean it from a racial standpoint or a pro-black standpoint. I mean just like being unified in Christ, being unified as a body of Christ, being unified in the kingdom of heaven. That part, you see what I'm saying? we have to really work together, people. We have to put aside our differences and really work things out. Amen. Because we could get so much things done together when all of us put our hands to the plow, when all of us are serving the Lord with fervence and diligence, when all of us are really, you know, going against the wickedness and really keeping on that armor of God. It's a beautiful thing. All right. We can't just have just certain individuals do it. It got to be all of us, all hands on deck. Amen. It's very beautiful when everybody's together. All right. So it's very important to understand the essence of war, the importance of it, strategies and things of that nature. And a good book relating to that, of course, is The Art of War. If you ever read that book, that's an awesome book. So war is always important. Okay. This spiritual warfare is very intense. Amen. So that's why we have to stay prayed up. So let's continue reading. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. So that's a powerful man of God right there. Melchizedek, king of Salem, said he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave them tithes of all. Tithes, interesting. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So Abram and the king of Sodom were kind of dividing the spoils and trying to sort out and have their portions. And Abram was like, hey, man, you just keep what belongs to you and I'll just stick to mine and my people. So it's always beautiful how Abraham wasn't greedy. Abraham wasn't a person who was always about himself. Abraham always put God first and he also had regard and cared about others. That's why we have to follow that example. Amen. So let us continue reading the book of Genesis chapter 15. Let's see what we have here. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he shall come forth out of thy own bowels, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. So God and Abraham are having this conversation. They're having this like awesome back and forth. And that's what makes it so beautiful, is that Abraham was a friend of God. That's a very powerful thing. You know, some people, like, we're all children of the Most High. We are servants of the Lord. But Abraham was a friend. So he talked to him like a friend. Abraham's like, yo, I don't even have no children. You give me all this stuff. How am I going to keep going with this? Like, this man is my steward of my own house. I don't even got my own children. And God's telling Abraham, hey, look at the stars. I'm going to number your children after that. So that was a very powerful saying, because, you know, the Lord countered his questioning with going above and beyond Abraham's imagination. Abraham was just thinking from a fleshly standpoint of a son or, you know, what have you. And the Most High was talking bloodlines and everlasting generations. And he was talking long-term bloodlines and you being a father of many nations, you know, because Abraham was talking about having just one son. And God is talking about you're a father of nations. Do you count the stars? That's how much children you're going to have, basically. So that's a very powerful encounter. And that just shows how we think so small of ourselves and our situations, and God sees us way more than we see ourselves. You get what I'm saying? So we have to start viewing ourselves the way God views us, in a sense of knowing his ways higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. But he looks at us with so much value. You know, we got to stop thinking so small about ourselves. We got to stop having such a low self-esteem or a low view on things. You know, we have to really have our mind on things above, you know, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is holy. Like, we should really have our mind on that. So I love that discussion that Abraham, the Most High Abraham had, you know. And you have y'all, and when y'all pray and talk to the Lord, y'all got to be honest and real about y'all situation. It's all right to be blunt and vulnerable and straight up. Don't try to, you know, beat around the bush with the Lord. You know, be upfront with him. Amen. So let's continue this reading. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Mm-hmm. And then he said unto him, And he said unto him, take me an ephah, a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto all of these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece of one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surely that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with a great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So the Most High is telling Abraham, like, yo, your people going to be enslaved for 400 years. So the father already been told Abraham about all these things. And it's kind of crazy how everything played out. And then we fast forward to today's world and generation, how all of us are scattered off four corners of the earth. So it's so amazing how so much captivity and scattering and desolation and all these different things has happened to us throughout ages and generations. We're still able to come back to the Most High's word. We're still able to come back in his presence. We're still able to embrace the covenant and promises. Amen. So that's a very beautiful prophetic thing. So let's continue reading. All right. And let's see what we have here. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now, the Lord is talking about different enemies and different nations that we all had to deal with from a historical standpoint. Now, the book of Genesis, chapter 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid. She had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from barren. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. So what happened between Abraham, Sarah, and Sarah's maidservant, her maid, what happened was Abraham knocked her up. But Sarah basically greenlighted it. And then now Sarah got bitter and fussed her way about it. That's just the woman's nature right there for you. You know, but this is like a crazy scenario because Sarah couldn't give birth at the time. So she had to find someone to do it. And Abraham actually did it. And then, you know, she got pissed about it. So that's kind of funny. But it's just interesting to see how things happen, how things play out from when it comes to bloodlines and lineages and how they start. You know what I mean? It's always interesting. So let's continue. But Abram said unto Sarai, "Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleased thee." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence came thou? And whither will you go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord, my master Sarai, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. So that's kind of cool how the angel went, dealt with the Egyptian woman, talked to her and said, hey, go back there. A lot of times people tend to run away from something or go isolated when things get a little hectic or chaotic. But the angel goes and tells her, hey, go back there. So it's kind of crazy how God wants us to withstand situations or things, how he wants us to endure certain things in certain situations when we don't want to do it or when we don't want to deal with it or face it, because she got dealt with harshly. So obviously Sarah, she put them paws on her. She done probably beat her up, done did some, you know, humiliated her, all that. And she didn't want to come back to her. But the angel met her in the wilderness and told her to go back. So that's a very crazy scenario right there. But let's continue reading. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, thou God sees me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that sees me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bore, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. The book of Genesis chapter 17. So the angel told the woman to go back to Abram and, you know, give more birth, you know, keep popping the children, being multiplied. So that's interesting. It's important to always obey God, no matter how the situation looks. And it may not make sense. You may not understand it. Always obey him. Amen. Now let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 17. Excuse me. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Yes. And neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee. So this is amazing and powerful. Abraham is 99 years old. And the Lord basically gives him a new name after 99 years, all those years and decades of following God and listening to his voice. God finally like changes him, turns him around, and even changes his name. So that's just a very powerful connection right there. And how God just gave Abraham that covenant, dealing with lineages and nations and promises and just all those beautiful things that are still existing to this day. Amen. So that's just a very beautiful encounter right there, in my view. So let's see what we have here. And also he said, Father of many nations. This is so beautiful because when you read the book of Revelations, it talks about how millions, when John saw the vision of the end times, John saw millions of people with the crown and the robes on. And he said it was millions, it was multitudes, he couldn't even count. He said all nations, all tribes, all languages, all tongues, all people, you know, will have the crown and the robes. That's just beautiful and powerful to me. This is why we can't get caught up in outward appearance. We cannot get caught up in race or looks or prejudiced spirits or racism and bias stuff. We cannot get into that when it comes to the kingdom. Amen. Because the Father been established this from the beginning. This is not a time to be at odds about race and looks and all that. I think that's silly. All right. We got to look at the bigger picture. So let's continue the reading and keep going from here. All right, let's see what we have here. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me, thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou was a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in the generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man, child in your generation, he that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is brought with thy money must needs to be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man, child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, he that broke in my covenant. So God established a covenant. It was very detailed and specific about how he wanted it to be detailed and laid out to Abraham. Now we fast forward to today when it comes to being fruitful, multiplying, circumcision, things like that. Things have been changed so differently to where nobody's really like aligned with that. You get what I'm saying? So that's why with the new covenant with Christ, him being the mediator of the new covenant, that brings in a whole different transition when it comes to spiritual matters and the Father. Because you see how when God was speaking to Abraham, it was based around father of nations, lineages, circumcision, things of that nature. When Christ came in and established new covenants, it was based around repentance, baptism, treasures in heaven, eternal life a hundredfold. It was different. You see what I'm saying? You see the difference between what the Father gave to Abraham and then the difference between what Christ gave to us. You know, so there's different promises or covenants all throughout the Old and New Testament. So it's always important to be mindful of every promise or covenant that the Lord has gave us. Amen. So let's be more aware and mindful of how things are, how things were, how things are to this day. All right. So let's see what we have here. All right. Let's see. He that is born in thy house and he that is brought with thy money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh is the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, he that broke my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. So God changed Abraham and Sarah. So that's kind of a beautiful thing. It's amazing how Abraham and Sarah centered their lives around God. Amen. So let's see what we have here. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yeah, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 99 years old bear? And it's interesting because, you see, even Abraham laughed. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they both laughed. You know, And it's a sense of humor in Mary Hart about how the Lord can make us laugh, right? But when it comes to serious, powerful things, of course, it's never a laughing matter. But Abraham was so blown away by it, he couldn't just keep a straight face. He had to laugh. Because it said he fell upon his face and he laughed. He's like, wait, what? So Abraham and Sarah are cracking up over this. But when God says something's going to come to pass, it will come to pass. No matter how funny it may sound, no matter how crazy it may feel, or that's the thing. So that's just kind of funny how Abraham and Sarah expressed their joy and laughter through that. So let's see what we have here. And Abram then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah bear who is 90 years old? And Abraham, 99 years old, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time, in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So after God spoke to Abraham, God dipped and bounced. God got up and left and let Abraham be with his wife. And you see how God was detailed about how he was going to bless Ishmael and how he was going to bless Isaac. And how God told Ishmael, said with Ishmael, he would make him great and make him multiply exceedingly. But he said the covenant shall be with Isaac. So the Lord is very detailed and specific about how he lays out things through lineages. Amen. That's the power of bloodlines and procreating and being fruitful and multiplying. You know, it's a very powerful thing. You know, this generation doesn't really take heed to things of that nature because of how lawless people are living and how promiscuous people are in this generation and things of that nature. But when it comes to marriage and covenants and promises and bloodlines, those are very important things that we hold with value and honor. All right. And we have to center those things around God. Amen. So let's see where we go from here. Let's continue. Now let's see. Yes. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. So it was on God's timing. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in the house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto them. And Abraham was 99 years old, which he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old, when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and brought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Now let's see what we have here. Yep. So there you have it. I'm just leaving it at the end of chapter 17 for the book of Genesis. Just want to discuss about Abraham's lineage, his descendants, his promises, his covenants, father of many nations, and things of that nature. So it's important to understand the history and the origin of things so that we can understand why things are the way they are today. Amen. So that's that, y'all. I'm going to continue the series of reading it and then go from there, right? So I hope you all had a blessed day, and I just pray that the Lord just keep revealing things to you. Amen. So there you have it. What I would love to do as I close out is give all the glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and praise his only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So here we go. He is the Adam, the Advocate, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Amen. The Apostle of our profession, the arm of the Lord, the Atoning Sacrifice for our sins, the Author and Finisher of our faith, the Author and Perfecter of our faith, the Author of life, the Author of salvation, the beginning and the end, the beginning of creation of God, the Beloved Son, the Blessed and Only Potentate, the Blessed and Only Ruler, the Branch, the Bread of God, the Bread of Life, the Bridegroom, the Capstone, the Captain of Salvation, the Chief Cornerstone, the Chief Shepherd, Christ, the Christ of God, the Consolation of Israel, the Cornerstone, the Counselor, the Creator, the Dayspring, the Deliverer, the Desire of the Nations, the Door, the Elect of God, Emmanuel, the Eternal Life, the Everlasting Father, the faith and true witness, faithful and true, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead, firstborn of all creation, the forerunner, the gate, the glory of the Lord, God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, the holy one, the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, the I am, the image of God, Jehovah, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the judge of Israel, the judge, King eternal. He is the King of Israel. He is the King of kings. Amen. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, King of saints, King of the ages, King of the Jews, the King, the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the lawgiver, the leader and commander, the life of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord, our righteousness, the Lord, Yah, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahweh Shai, Yahweh ben Yahweh, Ahai, Yeshai, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Barakatha, Shalawam, Shalom, Yeshua, Elohim, the consuming father, the father of lights, the father of the fatherless, the one who looks out for the widows and the orphans. Amen. Yes, the sustainer. Hallelujah. The provider. Yes, the great physician. Yes, he is the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the man from heaven, the man of sorrows, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator, the sustainer. Hallelujah. He is the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah, the mighty God, the mighty one. Yes, he is the morning star, the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the only begotten Son of God, our great God and Savior, our holiness, our spiritual husband, our Passover, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb, the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, the resurrection and life, the revelation, the revelator, the righteous branch, the righteous one, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the Savior, the seed of woman, the shepherd and bishop of souls, the Shiloh, the son of David, the son of God, the son of man, son of the blessed, son of the most high God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the son of righteousness, the just one, the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread, the true God, the true light, the true vine. Yes, he is the truth. Hallelujah. He is the way. Amen. He is the way, truth, and life, the wisdom of God, the witness, the wonderful counselor, the word of God, the word of Yah, the word of Yahuwah, the word of Elohim, the word of Ahai Yeshaya, Yeshua HaMashiach. Yes, the word of Yah. Yes, yes, he is the word. Amen. The word of life. Yes. Yes, the word of the creator, the consuming fire's word. Amen. Yes, we touch and agree. We serve an awesome creator, and the Son is amazing for dying for our sins. Hallelujah. Yes, the Lord our God is too awesome, too great. Amen. That's that, y'all. So there you have it. I pray to God that whoever listens to this message, yes, I pray that you are renewed or restored. Your health is better. Your mental health is better. Your heart is in a good place. I pray that your soul is being restored, as Psalm 23 says. He will have green pastures, amen. He will lead you by still waters, amen. Yes, hallelujah. Born again, new creature in Christ. Yes, got to have new beginnings, got to have fresh starts, people, new paths, new steps. Hallelujah. So that's that, y'all. That is the book of Genesis reading based on Abraham and Ishmael and Sarah and Isaac. Hallelujah. And Lot as well. So we're going to continue that Genesis reading and just go from there little by little. All right. So there you have it. All right. I pray to God that whoever listens to this message, I pray that you get baptized. You touch your life over the Most High. I pray that you repent, have new beginnings, and have fresh starts. And I just hope that you all take it easy from here on out. All right. I'm Jarvis Kingston. I got much love for y'all. God bless y'all. Peace. Yeah.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.